This is Rachel C. Swanson, and you're listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. This is the podcast where I help strip away the lies that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. Last week, I shared part one of our recent ranch story and the reason why we started this whole journey in the first place. If you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to go back real quick and do that before jumping straight into this week's episode. It's titled, You Have Options. Today, I'm sharing part two of this journey where God took us on a million different pivots after my husband decided to quit his successful job. That one decision led to a domino effect of other decisions, which ultimately led us to a journey we never anticipated. We didn't always agree, as you will humorously hear with our bantering in this episode, but ultimately we worked together to stay on the zigzagging path that God had planned for us.
So then that started a million different pivots.
Yeah, the type of work I was in takes a while to transition out well. So I gave my work 3 months' notice, and which was great because it gave us time to work through a lot of these things. So I think that the thought of the RV came, and then it was like, okay, let's give notice and we've got somewhat of a plan. Literally that was our plan.
But we prayed about
it. We'll quit and maybe we'll get an RV.
No, that's
the plan.
But we actually we did pray about it, and I've had this kind of gift of discernment, and you've really trusted in some of the leading that I've had. And so when we prayed about it, I mean, we definitely knew, and mind you, again, for the past year, probably year and a half, we've been kind of praying through even you possibly quitting your job. And there's been a few almost. And there was many times where we felt like it wasn't time yet. It wasn't yet. And finally, there was this time in May, just this last May. And at this time, it finally felt like this is the time. This is right. We actually have options. And I feel like God has opened this up to know that he's going to take care of us. We got to do this. So that was kind of the same thing with the RV. For some reason, I thought, you know, that's a good idea. Because here's the thing. We really didn't exactly know where we wanted to be. So we thought, okay, the RV thing seems the most, it just kind of seemed like, okay, that makes the most sense. So we can either rent our house or sell it. We'll be on the road. We'll go travel around, look at all the different states, all the different places, and see where God leads us. And so that was what the whole RV thing came about. So of course, because I want to hear you explain this. because I like, I don't know how to say it, but I like to be well taken care of. Let's just say that. And so I'm a fourth born. I'm the very last one in my family. And apparently they say that you're the, ones that are more well taken care of. We went and looked at, or actually I started looking at RVs, I should say. And I found one that I thought would be perfect. And it really is perfect for long-term, full-time living. It really is. But I don't think I realized.
Very small, long-term, full-time living.
It was going to be a year. It was going to be a year. And so at that time, it was going to be a year.
So my passionate, impulsive wife, within a few days, we owned an RV.
Okay, back up. It's okay. Okay, so really, I had no idea, though, how big a 41-foot RV really is.
No matter how many times I told you.
And we did not go look at it ahead of time.
You might tell by this moment that we did not agree on this decision.
No, we did not. But God...
But happy wife, happy life,
what? But God really did provide in some ways with this RV. Maybe I shouldn't have picked this RV, but that might have been a little bit of a mistake. But I think that if it wasn't for the RV, if I didn't have this RV, a lot of things wouldn't have happened the way that they would have happened now.
Don't jump ahead.
I'm just prefacing.
Okay, prefacing.
I'm not telling all the story. Okay. So we got this RV.
So we got the RV.
And a giant
truck.
And a truck.
Yeah. And so we started talking. Oh, yeah. And the truck.
And we got a truck.
All within, a few days.
Like a week.
Passion and impulse.
But because we also, guess what?
I guess
we also had a trip planned. Remember to go to the mountains in July, or was it the end of June?
Yes.
So I was trying to get it all set up.
We had to cancel our other reservation because we had a new RV ourselves.
Canceled our other reservation for the RV and got to go bring the new one. And it was an amazing...
Made to work out all the bugs.
It was a fun trip. There were a few bugs because we bought an RV that was used.
That's okay. We don't have to share that story. There were bugs.
There were bugs. Let's go. Let's fast forward.
So we had a great trip. We come back and we start that process of... And we dreamed up all these different road trip plans.
We did.
But in general, the one that kind of stuck for a while was, well, I'll leave in September. We'll go up to her parents for a month or so. And then we started, early on, we started getting the drip kind of drawn to Idaho. No real reason. So we're like, okay, we'll go spend some time with her family in Northern California. And then, you know,
well, soon,
for the warm weather, we'll go up to Montana first. That's for me. I love fishing, fly fishing. So we'll get to Montana. We'll come down to Wyoming. Then we'll go and we'll spend at least a month in Idaho. And then maybe at that point, it'll get cold. We'll kind of swing a little south. We'll come back to my parents for Christmas. And
go
then
to Arizona.
Out. And then really after Christmas, we never could fill in the blanks. It was just like, hey, we'll just head to the southern states.
But we didn't really know how it would work out. We're like,
and no offense to everybody in the southern states. I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do in the southern states. Like Grand Canyon, yes.
I was excited about Texas.
And then I was like, yeah, there's no fishing in Texas.
Well,
maybe there is. Those who live there would probably say there's plenty of fishing. But so we just had this mental block after Christmas.
So it started to narrow where we're like, well, maybe we're just gonna, you know, go a couple months. And then this whole Idaho thing kept coming up and just drawing me. And, you know, initially had written it off because I was like, no, it's way too cold. Like for me, I just am a Southern California girl. It was way too cold.
72, then... she's comfortable. 74, she's hot. 70, she's cold. That's about the window.
That is not true.
It is 100%.
All right. Well, we were looking into what we were really wanting in a possible location. Really, though, it was a lot of prayer, too. And so it was a combination of both. I felt like there was a spiritual leading and as well as just like the practical side of it. And I feel like the practical side of it was like, okay, if we're going to make a move, number one, we can't go too far. Otherwise, your mother would disown us. No joke. We had to stay close to California. If we were going to go out state, we had to stay close. So I had to write off North Carolina. Sorry, guys. I really wanted to go there. Then it was like Oregon's too cold and wet. Sorry, guys. So is Washington. Nevada, eh. Arizona, maybe. You know, there were some maybes on that one. And then just Idaho, like I was like, no at first. And then I was like, Boise. I heard the Boise area and this area was warmer and more mild for the winter. So I was like, maybe. So I looked into it and sure enough, I was like, okay, I actually think I could handle this. I think I could handle Boise. So then I was looking into that area and looking into Boise. And for some reason...
Where did Emmett pop up for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I started looking into the areas and I saw this little town, Emmett, north of Boise. And I started looking into just the area and the location. I was like, there was just something about it that was drawing me. And I thought, I want to check this out. And maybe because it was a little more outside of the city and it had this like... mountainy range and you know just some of the pictures just look so pretty and I had seen a few of them. I was like oh. And for some reason I just knew Jeff would love this place and I think my soul would be happy there too because close enough to the city, right? There was just something about it.
Anyway, we started talking about Idaho quite a bit at this time, and 5 or 6 years ago I met a guy named Tim in a book study at church.
It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was only in it for a short time because Rachel had a surgery and then I was out for that. And then it was a 5:30 a.m. Thursday morning book study. And we moved and I was farther away. And so anyways, I was only there for a short time. But Tim and I ran in the same group of friends. We never really knew each other that well, but ran in the same group. And within a 2-week period, I started hearing at least 4 people said, hey, have you talked to Tim yet? You need to talk to Tim. Have you talked to Tim yet? You need to talk to Tim. And he was hearing it from the other side. Hey, have you talked to Jeff yet? And the reason they were trying to put us together was he was heading to Idaho and we were heading to Idaho and kind of the same area. And so we chased each other down and eventually connected. And so him and his wife and me and Rachel. And it was kind of crazy. We set up one meeting spot and it didn't work. And well, we set up one day to meet and it didn't work. And
multiple
then we set
things
up, yeah.
kept happening.
But anyways, we end up at a McDonald's
with our kids
running crazy and us trying
but
to have a
perfect,
conversation.
It was perfect because they got to run around and for 2 hours they were running around and we just kind of had this conversation
yeah.
with them.
And so there was a lot in that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just share the really short version. Was
the main part.
We heard them hear the story and a short version about
just the
Tim.
Vision.
You know, a year ago he dropped dead of a heart attack.
For 90 minutes.
He was out dead for 45 minutes, came back alive for a few
seconds.
Gone for another 45 minutes and then back, no side effects whatsoever.
I mean,
so after that they were like, okay, God, whatever you've got for us, we're in.
And I'm getting him on a podcast later on soon too.
Anyways, that journey for them somehow kind of, yeah, Rachel will capture that story another time, yeah. But it led them to Idaho, to this ranch. And so we heard that whole story, and basically Rachel and I walked away from it with this sense of, wow, God is completely in that story, and he has these people just amazingly, kind of just grown to do that. Like, there's just, I have all the skill sets.
Yeah.
And for me, and Rachel as well, we just left that conversation with a sense of, wow, God's in that story, and we need to stay connected. We had no idea why, we just had the sense, stay connected. Yeah. And they gave us an invite of, hey, when you get to Idaho, come, we got plenty of room on the ranch, you can park your trailer and, you know, stay for however long you want. I don't know if you want to share your other part of
takeaway. There was the one thing that really resonated, which made me realize that there's something in this that we need to stay connected to, was when I was asking them their vision for this ranch that obviously they were investing into. It's also a super big leap of faith for them. They just, you know, there's a whole nother story behind that, and I'll get them to share that someday. But they said their vision is to bring people to this place, you know, for retreats and things like that, so that people can become refined and restored by God. And that just hit me, because obviously you guys know that my entire vision, my mission for just the kind of the words and the saying that God's given me is refine and restore. That's the title of this podcast. That's the title of my book that's coming out next fall, which is exciting. And so it just seemed like there was something in this for us. So we had no idea what, but we just knew, okay, there's something in this. And eventually when we found out it was Emmett, Idaho, I was like, oh my gosh, that's Emmett. For some reason, there was something about that. I don't know what it is, but there's something about that. So after that conversation, though, we were just like, okay, cool. We were asking them about the ranch, and they said, hey, you guys could come stay on the ranch in your RV for, you know, however long you want, whatever. And we thought, oh, that's great. It's a place to stay that's free, right? So we thought, okay, well, once we kind of get on the road.
Yeah, so that narrowed that shortened our road trip down a little bit more of like, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to spend a bunch of time there. And then after that conversation, the romantic idea of a road trip with our three wild children.
Yes, it started to dwindle. And homeschooling.
Ooh. All the romance began to fade.
Yeah.
You know, I think the more little online stories and YouTube videos of those that did it and we watched, we just came to realize more and more of, I don't know if we're cut out for that.
I don't know either.
So some of the romance that started fading. And so we were cutting the timeline down more of like, let's just beeline to Idaho. And I, as I said, my wife is passionate and impulsive. And so I made her promise. I'm like, you have to swear to me that, what was the timeline? I wanted a month.
It was a week.
I wanted a month.
It was 7 days.
And she whittled me down to a week. I was like, okay, we cannot buy a house. We have to wait at least a week.
7 days.
Anyways, so that, you know, so we had these things building. So anyways, we stayed connected with Tim and Julie's his wife.
Because we started to realize more and more that Idaho was maybe where we wanted to eventually end up and land. So that just felt really right. But we wanted to check it out first, and so...
So they started pulling us into, you know, this was a huge faith venture for them, and yes. It was a huge, even a bigger God story than this story that we're telling you. And so I was heading off to the high school guys I work with, Hume Lake, some people may be familiar with it, this huge Christian camp up in California. There's no cell service up there, and so I'm literally an hour away, and I get a text from Tim saying, hey, pray for the ranch. Things are falling through. And then, you know, I get that. I don't have a chance to call Tim, and then I'm out of service for a week. I don't even think I had a chance to tell Rachel that.
Mind you, we were in the middle of selling our house at this time. So prepping it, getting it ready, doing, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I come out of the mountains, connect up with Tim, and ultimately they'd lost some funding and they got a 2-week extension on escrow. So they were supposed to close August 1st. They were now going to close on August 17th. And I guess in those last couple of weeks, I started praying more. And you know, when God just puts something on your heart, I don't know, it's just your mind's on it a little bit more. And so on the morning of the 16th, which was a Thursday, you know, I texted Tim in the early morning and said, okay, Tim, what exactly do you need so I can be praying for it? And he sent me a text back of, you know, the exact funding they needed. And so I started praying that day, and still Rachel didn't know any of this. And as the day went on, I started feeling more and more personally invested in the story. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time. But I got to talk to Rachel about this when I come home. And men will know what I mean by this. There's days you come home and you could talk to your wife about anything. And those days you come home and you can't talk to your wife about anything. And it was one of those days. I came home and she was just...
It was just a hard day with the kids and everything. It was a hard day.
And
I was tired.
And men, you know, on a day like that, if your wife falls asleep, the last thing you're ever going to do is wake her up. Well, so I'm getting the kids, the boys down, and she's getting Aria down, and I really want to talk to her this night, and she's asleep. And
I fell asleep? Room.
You fell asleep. And I was like, I'm doomed. God's will is obviously not this. But I, so I gingerly wake her up. Oh, I kind of
remember that now. Yeah.
And then basically carry her into bed, and my heart's pounding. I'm like, you know, that pressure from God of like, you need to talk to her. And I'm like, God, there's no way I'm talking to her. Not about this. You know, and so I kind of just gingerly ask her, are you open for a crazy conversation? And somehow she was.
Well, I went, okay, I guess.
I basically said, hey, Tim and Julie lost funding. I kind of feel like as I pray about it and ask God to give them an answer, he keeps telling me I'm the answer.
And I was like,
I'll let you speak from there.
No. We are not talking about this. We're not doing this. But can I be honest? A few days before, when I had heard that things were falling through, there was this slight tug in the back of my heart and head and everything. You could do this. Like, you could help them. But I shut that down. I was like, no, God, you need to provide someone else. You need to provide. You know, we have this plan to go on the road. We need our funding. We need our savings. My husband's quitting his job. And I just thought, no, we can't do this. So when he approached me on, again, a wonderful, perfect, glorious night that was so perfectly set up for it, I was not at all interested. I don't think you didn't talk even that long. But then I just felt, look, we can't talk. We got to kneel. We got to go in prayer. If this is too big of a decision, having to decide it in less than 24 hours, we have to ask God and we have to let the Spirit lead. We have to be sure. So he literally went and grabbed our big giant throw pillows, the ones that you think are pointless on the bed. And we put them down. But see, they're for a point. See, they're ready for kneel. Wow. Kneeling. No, we probably
used them. Once in 12 years.
Apparently it's really good to
kneel. Totally worth it.
And we went and we kneeled and you led into prayer. And you just started praying, I mean, it was less than 2 minutes, maybe even a minute. And you guys, I mean, I just went from absolutely no way, no thought, terrified of this idea of investing into this ranch to a 180 and just feeling total peace, this feeling of yes, and completely shifted my heart and my mind of, oh my gosh, we are meant to do this and I want to do this. And I just started saying, yep. It's us. Yeah, we need to call him. So we wrapped up that prayer and made that phone call that really changed everything. Yeah.
So I guess I want to pause here and just say, for me, the best way to explain this whole story is I just call it an out of Ur story. And if you're not familiar with that reference, Abraham lived in Ur. And that's...
He's talking about a biblical story for those that aren't even following the Bible.
So... Early in Genesis, you know, God comes, says to Abraham, hey, I want you to go to the land I'll show you. And that's it. That's the only instructions. And Abraham's like, okay. And he just gets up and he starts walking. And, you know, God begins to show him step by step where to go. And he left with no direction. And some of the cooler parts, I think, about that story is it wasn't like he could just, okay, he just grabbed his backpack and walked. I mean, he had huge flocks. He had all these people. Yeah. He had all this stuff that he was responsible for. So it was this huge logistical thing to get up and go. You know, obviously the Bible doesn't go into those details, but, you can obviously see it in the story. And so that's really this story. Like, God's like, there was this clear sense of go. You know, the decision, it's time to quit the job. You wanted to go. The time is now to go. Like, I spontaneous, no plan. That's me. My wife is the opposite. And so,
planning. We had this,
you know, there was a sense of I can't say I was comfortable, but I was certainly more comfortable than Rachel. But the whole thing was just go. And so we'd take a step and then it would bring this new sense of clarity. You know, we took a step. Okay, we bought an RV. Okay, now the world opened up in a different way and we could see things differently. And then we took another step. And if you're looking on a board, these certainly were not linear steps. It was like 3 steps forward. Okay. Now we go 3 steps right. Yeah. and then back a step, and then to the diagonal left. Diagonal. You know, and especially now where we sit, it's easy to look back. And, you know, for me, I look back, I wish we didn't buy the motorhome. I wish we didn't do this. But I don't know, as I look at those steps, like every one of them had to happen to get us to where we are. Rachel said earlier on that that was a prequel or a forward.
It was a key piece to getting us here. I mean, if we hadn't had the RV idea planned, we wouldn't have decided to sell our home. My passionate,
impulsive wife would have bought a house without ever seeing it.
And you know what? We wouldn't have had the funds to then be able to do this thing that God's called me to. So I honestly think he protected us through the RV that we bought and we really haven't used to enable us to have this ranch and move this vision along. And then really having the RV has kind of been just my safe boat of like, okay, we have some place, you know, to land, to call home, because otherwise we really didn't have a place or an idea to call home. And this was 2 weeks before we were packed up and gone. Our house was sold and we were leaving in 2 weeks. So, you know, this was not like we knew a lot of what was going to happen. And then this thing came up.
I guess I want to pause too, and I want to share that it's easy to hear this story and be like, wow, Jeff and Rachel are these like giants of faith.
Yeah, no.
I mean, these were just terrifying things. And especially for me, that story, that foster adopt story. And if you don't know that, Rachel might have to post a link to the past stories.
There's a podcast I already shared on it.
But I was just, my faith was just utterly destroyed. Might be a bit traumatic, but it's pretty close. And so
that's the podcast of when things don't go as planned.
Yeah, you build up expectations and then God does something different than your expectations.
Right.
And
even though you were feeling led by the Spirit.
So I was having the last 2 years of my life have been really just a huge struggle to trust God and to have faith. And so
here we are on another journey of
this story doing this. Was just incredibly difficult to walk. It was incredibly difficult to give up the job, not just because of the income and all that, but because of it was a step of faith.
Yeah.
And it was a step that I had so little courage to do. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to see all these different pieces come together of, you know, years ago when I was asked to serve in the high school ministry, at first I turned them down, and basically my reason was I'm cooler than that, and I've got bigger and better things to do for God. And God, you know, graciously humbled me, and I stepped into that. And then if I hadn't quit my job, there's no way I would have been able to go to Hume Lake with these guys. You know, the reason I went was it was kind of the final farewell. I mean, anybody that has young kids and a job knows if you're going to take a week off of work, you're going to do something with the family, not abandon your family. But I just had the space to do that. And God worked in my heart in a way at Hume of all these hard places in my heart that I wasn't willing to work on. You know, there was about 18 junior boys that came, you know, we're not that big of a church. It was all kind of the loosely connected guys, just because they knew it was my final hurrah. They all showed up in force. And so trying to do one-on-ones with 18 guys over a week was a challenge, but they kept asking me questions, and the questions were always like the area of my heart that I was trying to ignore. They were asking me about those questions in their lives, and I'd have to speak into those. And so the bottom line of that was there was just so much of the scales of my heart that kind of broke up and got loosened that week, to the point where I took my first faith risk again. And it's not worth sharing here, but just took a little faith risk there. And I think that moved me to a place to where all of a sudden I was able to pray a little differently about this ranch as it came up. And it gave me... It gave me the strength, maybe I can take this other faith risk and talk to my wife about, you know, this idea of investing in them. And then take another faith risk and another, you know, and the story just kind of moved forward, just little step after little step. There was never any of this grand hyper-spiritual moment of like, God's got this and I'm so so confident in him. It was just, okay, one terrified step after another terrified step. You know, even we won't share the story now because there's no time, but even yesterday was a day of just pure terror for me. It's something Rachel will share about in the future. But, you know, those fears keep coming back, and I have to keep reminding myself of how much God loves me and how much God's for me, and that he's invited us on this, and we can trust him. Yeah. And it's a choice to choose to trust him or choose to grab on to my sense of control And when I grab onto my sense of control and I turn my eyes away from how much God loves me, then the fear and the panic and the uncertainty comes in, and then I have to very consciously, very heavy effort, release my control of things and turn back and just say, God, I know you love me and you're going to work this out. And I guess I really want to be clear on that, that that is not easy. And I failed miserably yesterday, miserably.
That's okay. We're human. And that's why we need God.
And I'll probably fail miserably tomorrow. Hopefully not. Hopefully it wakes a little longer.
Don't worry. I fail miserably all the time too, still.
But yeah, and so, but there is, you know, there's two sides of this I want to share. There's this amazing romance of this idea. If you're not clear yet, with the ranch we invested in on, the dream that Tim and Julie have is to build it into an event and a retreat center.
You know, and weddings.
And weddings. And they have the passion to run the business side, which Rachel and I have nor the passion. She might have the ability, but you know, we're just teachers at heart. And here's this, all of a sudden we're invited into this place that gives us a place to teach and a platform. And there's just some rich excitement in that. And there's so much romance and excitement in this 60-acre ranch and the in Idaho and building a Christian event and retreat and wedding center. And then there's also the reality of that. You know, we're living in the...
Well, once we got here, but I mean...
Oh, you want to...
So, well, I mean, just after we invested, those next couple of weeks were a whirlwind of packing, moving, all that stuff.
Oh, I guess a quick pause on that investment. There's a wise way to invest, and then there's a not
wise way. There's a not wise way.
And maybe there's a third way. We'll just say ours was the third way. Okay. But most people would call it the not wise way.
That would probably still not be a wise way, but yes.
But yeah, usually you'd want to have paperwork and conversations and we know all that. We know better. But it was just, God was just saying, do it. And there was this timeline, like they needed the money right away.
They just needed it.
And so we just gave a chunk of money.
Big
chunk. We're like, we're trusting God. We know their character.
We know who they are.
And it was literally 2 months before we could even talk to them again, really, because...
And now we have, and we've been ironing it out, and we're getting paperwork settled up.
Good paperwork equals good friends. We're working through it.
So we did it backwards.
You know, and so I guess, you know, that would obviously be a non-wise way with creating that third category. It was like, God said do it, so we did it.
The spiritual, so therefore it spirit-led must be, way.
You know,
yeah.
The world, the godly wisdom.
Yeah. But then, I mean, those next couple weeks, so, I mean, then that decided, we decided, so much shifted in that point again.
This story still isn't over yet. In next week's episode, we will wrap up this three-part story that involves me paying hundreds of dollars to ship a dehumidifier back to Home Depot, my husband feeling like the RV was a mistake, me having a panic attack when we arrived at the ranch, not fun, and the official name and the needs of this new ranch that we are rebuilding. Reflecting on your own story, maybe you never thought about the fact that God doesn't always walk us on a straight line path. Maybe your path feels like zigzags, dead ends, or a million different pivots like ours, and you wonder if you're still on the right path in the first place. Let me share with you something that I've learned in the process of following God through the wilderness. He will always give you glimpses and clues that you're on the right path. You may think it's just a coincidence, but it's not. Trust me, those are demonstrations by God that you are right where you should be. Also, He will always provide. Just like He provided manna for the Israelites, He will provide you the manna that sustains you for today. It may not be the type of manna you want, but it's enough. Trust that it's enough. I'll see you next week.